This is episode 17 of the NAB AFL Fantasy Podcast. We are the All right, cut the intro. I firstly cannot believe I'm even sitting here.
I can't believe
to do
you.
A podcast. I drove here with anger in my eyes, and I was sweating. I was so furious.
I could tell by your messages you weren't happy.
Look,
and
this
that was,
is...
And that was just before you heard all the news this afternoon.
This is a joke. Okay, let's go back at last week. Okay, I whinged all about Elliot and Himo and all this sort of stuff. Then James Kelly gets a late withdrawal and puts a donut on me for you. Good work, mate. And
where's
now,
your cover, mate?
Cover. You'll be ducking for cover in a minute. And then, all of a sudden, today we find out all this ridiculous news of people who didn't even do anything wrong.
Oh, Calvin.
Oh, I'm not a happy man. I'm not a happy man.
Welcome to the NAB AFL Fantasy Podcast. I'm Roy, I coach Destroy. I'm here with Warnie.
We are up and about, and coach of the War Dogs.
And Calvin.
I have resigned as coach. No, I haven't. Coach of the Calvin O'Brien.
I'll tell you what, it's good to see someone else copping a bit of carnage. I've sat here happily all year, getting shot by all these bullets. You're starting to get hit by a couple. It's not pleasant, is it?
A couple, Roy.
Okay, how did you go? Give us your score.
Okay, I scraped over 2037, which was all right.
Yeah.
Considering, it beat you, and I had a zero.
Oh, what the? So you beat Warnie, and you're going on with all this?
Exactly, and I'm being quite calm.
He is being
all right, because I had a full 22 play.
What'd you score, Doug?
2008, and yeah, like I said, with a full 22, it was a terrible round for me. I had... six of my midfielders scored in the 80s or less. Like, that's got to hurt you when...
That's
ridiculous. And all of those guys there all average over 100. So
that is ridiculous.
Every single one of them average over 100, but I had six of them scoring 80 odds or less, which is awful. And apart from that, I had a lot of other guys, which I'm sure we'll talk about when we get to negative threes coming up as well. But yeah, no, awful round for me. But Roy, yours was good. I think you would call your score... a touch over par.
Yeah, probably by one handball.
One handball
over par, I'll call it.
Okay.
So I reckon 21.50 was about par. Once again, a little bit of stupidity. You know how I keep flicking between Ablett and Rockcliffe captain?
Yeah.
Once again.
Which way did you go?
Yeah, the wrong way. Again.
You have mentioned this to me from time to time.
Yeah,
yes.
for exactly what's happened each week this month, I flip between them. But anyway, I got 21.52. I don't think it's great, but I'm not going to complain looking at you guys,
it was a decent score, because there are some stats that have come through.
Yep.
Mate, Nick sent me a message just before. He said that round 16 had the lowest average points and the tons scored per game. So that was round 16. Now, the little thing to put that up for consideration or discussion is that over the bye round, so there were 45 tons scored this week, that's fantasy centuries by our players, over the bye rounds... when there were only six games...
Oh, you're kidding.
There was 41, 49, and 45.
So I'm not surprised.
45.
Great statistic,
great statistic.
Yeah, thanks, Nick, for that. But how about that? It shows why the scores were down. But I tell you what, looking at Twitter on a Sunday
evening, I
put a tweet out last night saying I would love people who are having bad weeks like me to still tweak their scores.
Yeah.
Because all we see coming through are these beast scores. Yes, I had an awful round, but surely there were some people in the same boat. Well,
basically, if I read Twitter on a Sunday night, I cannot ever enjoy my round. Because all I get is tweets from people that did better than me.
Hey, Roy, I got a 2300. How did you go?
Yeah, not well. Yeah, thanks.
2856. You're like, what's going on?
Even if I check my score on a Sunday night with a bit of swag, I could have a PB score.
Exactly.
24, you beauty. New tweet.
Okay,
26.
You get put back in your box very quickly.
Danger.
Very quickly. All right, let's have a look at some of those good things in our side that did help us actually, well, all of us get over 2,000, which didn't look like it was going to happen for me at some stage over the weekend. So your plus three destroy.
Plus three. Now, it was tough this week because although I did have some rubbish and some bad moves from a personal perspective, coaching-wise, McVay and Barlow were two people that really stepped up to help me still score respectably. But I have to give it for Brandon Ellis.
Woohoo!
For once again, his seventh straight ton, and he's back-to-back 115, I think he's gone. He is amazing. Once again, my pickup of the year so far. So he is my plus three.
Conversation I wasn't involved in that week. I didn't get him in YouTube.
You chuckled at it though, remember?
Oh, no, I knew he was good. I just didn't think he'd be this good.
Yeah,
he's
I know.
A bloody star.
I'll tell you what, he'll continue this week as well. 128 against Port last year.
Ooh.
So, look, out of all the games he's ever played, that's his third highest score.
Maybe he's an Ablett option this week.
Well, he definitely is.
Could be. All right, Calvin, who was yours?
Oh, jeez. Who was mine? Look, oh, Stevie J, 131.
He's back.
He's back.
Well, I tell you what, about time, Stephen. How many weeks do I have to say, oh, no, he'll be right this week. He'll be right this week.
I'm going to say he had an inflated score this week, Calvin.
14 yeah, tackles. Okay. 14 tackles.
Doesn't mean he's back.
I tell you what, he will feature though in Calvin's captains because really? The pickings are very slim. But he doesn't get it. Ex-Ellis, reverse the karma bus.
Yes.
Reverse the karma bus. Ex-Ellis, 97. Where the hell did that come from?
Going to call for the third umpire on this one, though. I don't think he deserves to be your plus three there.
Why?
He could have been if he came off the bench for you. But you decided to play him, bench Hibbo, and had no emergency going into this week.
Yeah.
Normally, Ellis is your emergency.
Yeah.
I don't think he... No, he was good for a plus three. But I don't know. I wouldn't be giving him that because of the terrible coaching decision that you made.
Well, yeah.
To go in without.
In Calvin's defence
here... Thank you, Roy. I'd like when you defend me.
He went in. He gave Ellis a bit of a pep talk and said, look, mate, I could trade around you and leave you sitting on the pine, but I am confident this week that you can step up and get a really respectable score. 85 would have had him in... the mix for a plus three, I
definitely.
Reckon, from you. So I think that's fine with a 97. Defend it.
I'll shoot back in Warnie's corner.
Yeah.
Because if I had traded around it, he would have been my replacement for James Kelly.
And that would have been worthy of a plus three.
Oh, okay. I'm back with the dog.
That could have been 100 points higher.
But I did like that you backed him in and he did that.
Yes, but this week, like everyone else who make two trades, I sort of get another one because I get Hibbo coming back on.
Oh, yeah,
that's nice.
Another well, way to look
full.
At it. Yeah. Last half full, all right.
Pick three clever. Quarters of your midfield.
All right, my plus three. Mine was a cat, and he's a new cat because he gained forward status last week. And I said, Roy, you were all ranking Kieran Jack as number one. No, well, I didn't really disagree with that. But what I did like was Mitch Duncan's value there.
Which is also what I said... Thank you, in the article.
Yes. I know. But I just ranked him at number one. And so I picked him up. I brought him in. And he was fantastic. 115 points he had, which was a pretty awesome score.
It was. Inflated, I'd like to say, because...
on debut, it was good. That's why he's my man, I think.
Yeah, getting that out of him for that price on debut...
Exactly.
That's what a plus three is all about.
Especially when a lot of people might have picked up Kieran Jack over him.
Oh, did they?
And had a... Well, Calvin had a pretty ordinary score. Let's go into...
800s in his last nine games.
I know.
So let's look at negative threes. Does Kieran Jack get your negative three on debut?
I'm going to start off by giving my negative three to the Scott brother that coaches Geelong.
Which one's he?
I don't know.
No, not at all.
They look the same. They're twins,
aren't
they?
Apparently.
So I'm giving it to him because of the James Kelly. I'm sick of Geelong and their little games that they play.
Yeah.
Look, they're going to do it for the rest of the year, so get comfortable with it because he's going to be pulling guys out left, right and centre.
Bartell, he is just waiting.
When is it going to happen? It stopped me. I got a little bit of a Friday afternoon panic and didn't bring in Bartell.
Don't like you, dog.
Well, it's not really my fault. It's because of these other
resources.
Places that say...
You know what I call them? Poor man's Roy Rumour Mill.
Yeah.
That's what they are.
They are.
Because they make them up.
And they send
people... You don't make any up.
No.
They send people into panic.
As coaches, we don't want to be in the position of going, I wonder if that, inverted commas, reliable source...
Yes.
...actually has any, you know, anything to justify these bold statements.
Well, the stats so far would probably say no.
I know. But you just can't read them then.
No, exactly. It's not very fair. And that sort of stuff, like... Your trades can be affected.
Yes.
Not getting Bartell this week. Roy, you and I both didn't get him, and we went Hanley. We've got to be happy with that.
Oh,
we
definitely.
Weren't too many points behind, and he was a bit cheaper and all those sorts of things to go along with
it. No, it could have been far worse, yeah.
But he is by far a better player to have.
Oh, without a doubt. But with each week that goes by, though, with someone like Bartell, you're getting
one week
closer
to a rest,
I cannot get him in until I have someone... on the bench, in the back line, that can get me more than Buse's.
He's a ticking time bomb, Roy.
He is, isn't he?
A ticking time bomb.
Right, well, speaking of back line, mine goes to Bertram
again. Oh, God!
Again, 30. With all the other stuff happening, I had to trade out Hibbo. I thought that was a smarter thing with what I could get to, all those sorts of things. I thought Bertram against North Melbourne could be all right. I was so wrong. 30 points. 30
points.
Is all he had. So
30 points.
Oh, my negative three, and there's a lot of special mentions there for someone that scored 2008. That's there must have been a lot of guys, but geez, Birchall, awful.
I'll tell you what though, we were all on top of that, weren't we? We all wanted to get rid of Birchall at the start of the week. It was just omissions that cost us all doing it. I got lucky
not
got
lies to get rid either. Of him. Not lies in Roy's Trade Talk article.
No, no, exactly. Now, my negative three, I'm sorry about this, but I paid the big bucks for Prestia a fortnight ago, and he has done nothing but disappoint me with an 80, and he dropped down to a 70.
How good your team to be giving that to Prestia?
No, he got 77, and it's a culmination I'm talking about. It's the last 2 weeks. It's the disappointment. I'm talking 570 I paid for this bloke.
And that
how
really
much that
sucks.
Is?
It's a lot of money.
Exactly. So well worthy of the negative three. It'll be interesting to see how he bounces back with no Ablett.
Yeah.
Does he get
a
tag?
Is it
a
positive thing or is it a negative thing?
That is yet to be seen.
Oh, I can tell you. Yeah. You know me. I've been crunching a few numbers. Now, over the last 2 years, Prestia has played without Ablett on 3 occasions.
Yep.
He has scored 76.
Yep.
120 and 56.
Yeah.
Wow. So, roller coaster.
Well, go figure. No, he's having... Like, he had a breakout of some extent last year where he took his average to 90 plus. This year, he's a different player to when you're getting those numbers, Calvin. Yep. So I'm going to call that. Initially, it dented my confidence and I got a bit of a sweat up, but I think he's going to be fine.
All right, let's look at our trade gains. And so basically, if you didn't trade,
well, we all traded,
with your trades you made this week.
With the traders, man.
Yeah, of course we are. With the trades you made this week, how many points did it gain you, Dog?
For me, it was only 21 this week, which is a little bit disappointing because I got rid of Bird. I think in the long run, I'm going to be happy with that.
How did he go?
He was good. He had an 80 odd.
Because he looked good out there.
90. He was in the 90s.
He was, just
below my Mitch Duncan. So I've got to be happy with that. I think in the long term, that's going to be good. I did trade Hibbo, and if I had have played Excellus on the ground instead of him, I would have got 2 more points.
Yes!
Oh, no!
I knew it! A little bit. Isn't that crazy? So my trade gains were okay. Long term, still probably a decent little thing. So I'm not too disappointed.
Yeah, mine was good because I was in a position where I could get rid of Birchall. Remember, I was in the position of going Birch or Suckling, and we all thought, yeah, definitely go Birch. And it got me 65 points by going to Hanley. So that's a very handy point gain this week.
So your other trade was just to make a bit of coin?
Just got Honeychurch in, who he did all right as well.
He was
avoided
solid,
the best, yeah.
Now, for my gain, I actually went up 43 points. Now, you'd be like, well, it should have been more. So I would have had to have had... McGovern covering Elliot.
Oh, yeah.
But, of course, traded Elliot to Kieran Jack. Kieran Jack, 61 points. That should have been 100.
Disappointing,
should have been a lot more than that. But, yeah, 43 points.
Alrighty, boys. Now, it is probably the most interesting round of the year with stuff that's happened. We had Gary Ablett go down on Saturday evening. At this stage, it looks like he'll be out at least this week. I think it'll be 2 or 3 at the bare minimum. We don't have any more news because I think the Suns are looking at second opinions and all that sort of stuff at the moment. So we don't really know what's going to happen, but for me, it's a definite trade. We'll get to that in a sec. But then this afternoon, Monday afternoon, the match review panel laid down their verdict. They had a look at all the games and we had straight up there, Tom Rockliffe. He will take a week and he'll need to because just pleading guilty, he still has to take a week because he's got a bad record, because he's a naughty boy, Roy.
It's ridiculous.
He didn't even do anything.
Did he? Did you see the incident?
I haven't seen it.
He gets picked on.
Asked
for it.
So Rocky will be gone for a week, which was obviously, for a lot of people, if you didn't have him, the number one trade target for Ablett. So
he certainly was. He's got a 3-game average of 144. Whoa. So to say you're upgrading from Ablett sounds ridiculous, but you actually were.
It was, yeah. So he's out. But the other one there, and a little bit of a unique option, however, 2 out of the 3 of us have got him, and that's Brendan Goddard. He was... which one didn't have that? Rightio. So he's got 2 weeks, but he can accept 1 with a guilty plea.
Nah, take 2, Goddard.
I'll tell you who was laughing at that. The same guy that was getting laughed at when he went back-to-back 150 or so a few weeks ago.
That's
down.
The sad thing about that with Goddard is that he's been fairly average the last couple of weeks. So
yeah.
He hasn't been the same Goddard that we purchased him for.
Yeah, no, but he hasn't. He's still worth $561.
He is. And that's
a lot of money.
That's the massive positive out of it. So if you are in that position of needing to trade him, well, at least you've got some cash. And that's a good thing about all of them, which with Ablett, with Rocky, or with Goddard, if you are trading two of those three this week, then you've got plenty of cash to play with, and you basically have a smorgasbord of options. Now, Roy, you are the trade talk man. You are the man that loves giving the advice, and it's always good advice, about who to
That's
get in.
That's the nicest thing he's ever said about you.
It is. It's usually pretty good advice. Generally... That's the safe way of saying. No, it is great advice. every week. All right, Destroy, what have you got for us? And take us through. So let's think about Ablett to start with.
Now, okay. I need to know this.
Right.
Right. So please steer me in the right
direction. Well, you both own Scott Pendlebury, don't you?
Yes.
Which is, you're sitting with 41% of the competition there. He is up there for me. He's averaging 115 the last three. He's in form. You know, there's 60% of people that have that option.
Yeah, it's surprising, actually.
It certainly is. So he's, I think with Rockliffe out, he's probably your safest bet. Now,
he's solid as a rock, too. Like,
he is.
It's kind of a... It feels like a boring option
if
you're doing that.
That's the only reason I don't have him, and it is stupid because it has cost me. Back when I got pressed here a couple of weeks ago, I could have quite easily gone the boring pick of Pendlebury, but
didn't.
I went the exciting pick of Prestia.
Oh,
well, that's been real exciting, hasn't it?
It's added some excitement to your life.
Oh, and you'll get instant reward with him too. Like, his lowest score, Roy, is 106 in his last eight games against Essendon.
So he should be good.
So he's going to be massive.
He's going to be... Well, he's never huge, like, you know, Rocky huge, but... He's going to be a 120. Has to be a 120 this week.
Yeah,
just
okay.
Just a solid captain's option.
Yep.
No stress.
Hey, get off my turf.
All right. Well, he's great. I hate to say this, but people have once again been tweeting me. Since I got rid of Trent Cotchin, he is absolutely on fire. He's got a three-game average of 122. But I'm saying do not go there.
Whoa. Really?
Yep. Don't go to Koch. It's only a matter of time until he gets tagged hard again and really struggles with that. So, Cochin, there's my answer to everyone. Don't bother asking me about it anymore. I don't like it. I think there's better options out there. JPK, I think, is another safe one. I think he's really good, averaging 110 for the year. Barlow, another safe one.
Yeah, another boring sort of one, too.
Yeah, and you know what justifies the boredom of it?
Yeah.
He's averaging 111 for the year, 111 in his last three.
Oh, right.
He's going to get you 111.
Yeah.
So it's boring, but is 111 ever boring? I don't know.
No, and that's something you can put bank each week. Well, I'd do it when most of my midfield got 80 or less
exactly.
This week.
Yeah, exactly. And he was a plus three nomination this week. He did actually go 130, so apologies for just calling you a 111 there, mate. Brandon Ellis.
Oh,
yes. My just...
Unique.
Yeah, unique one. He's owned by 2% of the competition.
You and me.
Yeah, exactly. He comes at a price now, though. He's up to 536. And so he should be, because those seven straight hundreds, they're putting you in an elite bracket up there. So definitely have a go or have a look at him. Matt Prittis is the forgotten man.
Roy?
Yeah, Prittis. Remember Pretty Boy back in the day? He's averaging 107 for the year, 110 last three. Once again, comes at a price, but that uniqueness of him as well, 3% of the competition have Prittis, and he is absolutely smashing it. However... my number one pick.
Right.
My number one option for Gaz is Steve Johnson. I know, but I cannot ignore the price here.
The value.
The value in it. He's 5'11".
He was the most expensive player at the start.
Exactly.
Of the season.
Best average. Best average last year. You can pick him up for 5'11". Now, he's got 131 this week.
Yep.
You want to hear his last three scores against the Demons?
Do it.
171, 163, 156.
Oh, boy.
He plays the Giants.
What do you think about that?
I think Roy's stepping on my toes.
Oh, sorry. The next week after that, he plays the Giants. You want to hear what he had versus them?
Yeah.
150 and 101.
Oh.
Then the next week, his last game against North Melbourne, who are giving up points to midfielders, 112.
Right.
How can you not do it for that money, those numbers?
That's...
I think it's just... a go-to trade.
It's not boring because Stevie J could give you anything.
Stevie J is never
but
boring.
But it just seems like it's a no-brainer.
It does. It is almost that, at no-brainer like, status.
Because you're going to make a truckload of cash out of it,
yeah.
which can fix up other rubbish on the ground. So if you've got guys like Patrick Dangerfield, who is clearly not right at the yeah. moment, you could upgrade him. If you've got those guys at the back line, if you've got a Birchall sitting there, upgrade him.
I know.
Oh, boy.
So here's the deal.
The right thing to do.
At the end of the day, I have to break down my number one target.
Right.
How many boxes does it tick? Value?
Yes.
Tick. Form in his last game?
Yes.
Tick, 131. Form versus upcoming opponents?
Oh, really? Lots of ticks?
Has he been the top, like, a scorer in the past?
Yes.
He was the best last year.
Oh, right.
That's his go-to trade.
Okay, Roy, can you... You've just given Steve Johnson as your number one. Can you, yep. once again, go down the list? Give me your one, your two, and your third best option.
Okay. Go. I'm going Steve Johnson.
Right, okay, because I've got him.
Number
Keep
one.
Going.
Okay, Barlow. No, I'll go Pendle's number two.
I've got him. Not helping so far.
And I'm going Brandon Ellis, number three.
I've got him as well. You don't help at all.
Really? There's a couple of boxes I forgot to mention too. Potential of rest.
Actually,
he doesn't get a... Yeah, so that's not a
Stevie's had a rest, Roy.
Is he reliable suspension-wise?
Oh, God. Oh, jeez.
Does he get injured?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Okay, he's number one, but it's shakier turf. And he ticked the early boxes, but there's a couple of shaky ones late. But he still gets my number one.
All right, so some of the big questions as well to add to that. Because we've got Rocky out for a week, we've got Goddard out for a week, there's sort of no... you wouldn't be holding on to Abbott. That's sort of not in your calculation
at all.
Because, one, for how much he's worth.
Yeah.
Two, the unknown. He could be, when he comes back, he might be playing sore as well. He may not even be
the
Ablett that we want. But I think, straight up, you need to trade him. So, we will be doing that. If you've got Rocky, though, for 1 week, do you hold on to him? Now, you two both have Rockcliffe. I don't. That's my little laugh, the only little one I can have this week.
Grasping its straws.
Yeah, I know. What are you guys going to do? Will you be trading Rocky this week?
There is no way I'll trade Rocky because he will be far too hard to get back in. If I trade him out, I just know there'll be an injury here, injury there pop up. Next thing, I don't have him in my team and he's pumping out those 144s. I'm definitely holding.
I will hold as well. As I said, I've got Ablett, Goddard and Rocky. I've got the trifecta, so it makes sense.
He's the best one to hold on to.
Obviously, Ablett has to go. Goddard's been a little bit down the last couple of weeks, but still worth a fair bit of coin. And Rocky's Rocky.
With Rocky, it would be a harder decision if it was a 1 week because of a calf complaint, hamstring tightness, but it's a 1 week suspension.
He'll come back,
he'll freshen up, and he's just going to come back and go bang. My trading will be around him, though. I will be upgrading a bench player in the midfield to take his spot.
And that's a big question, I suppose, for people. Because Calvin, you've got no one on your mid bench, basically.
I've got Barry.
Ooh,
Leo Barry.
What did he score last week?
I don't know.
Oh, he'll be all right for
nine. Yeah, nine last week.
And I've also got Zach O'Brien, who's not playing.
Maybe he comes in for Rocky.
I've got a killer bench at the moment. So what I'm looking to do this week, I'm probably going to have to take a donut or take Barry's score of 10 or whatever he's going to get me. But I'm looking at maybe like an Ablett to Sam Mitchell or Ablett to like a Hanley or someone like that.
Bit of DPP.
Well, Roy, you know, you inspire me.
Yeah, Dale Santo.
And that's going to be my see you later Birchall next week.
Yep.
That's nice. Me planning ahead. You're a smart man. So with Goddard, you would be looking to offload him if you've got him. There's a couple of reasons for it, probably. His last couple of weeks haven't been up to scratch.
And your carnage, it's forcing your hand, really.
Look, I can go Goddard straight to Michael Barlow. It actually makes me about $5,000 or $6,000.
That's pretty nice.
A move like that is pretty much a no-brainer.
Yep.
All right, boys. Now, we have got the Twitter questions and Facebook questions coming in. Make sure you follow us at AFL Fantasy and also look up AFL Fantasy Official on the Facebook. And you can get us there and ask questions and all that sort of stuff too. Now, let's start off with this one. Seriously, 90% of the questions are, what are we doing with Ablett? What are we doing with Rocky? That sort of stuff.
Yep.
I think probably for the last 20-odd minutes we've spoken about that and got that right. Look out for Roy's
have
trade talk.
Have we got
talk.
It right?
Look out for Roy's trade talk.
We've got it covered.
Yeah. If not, just hit Roy up on Twitter and he'll give you an in-depth 140 character or less look at who you should get. All right, let's go with this one to start with. Let's go with Chris Tassel. He wants to upgrade either Dangerfield or Suckling. Who would you go for first?
I would upgrade Suckling first there, because Danger, surely Danger.
I question whether or not Danger's fit.
Yeah, that line. Would be my thing. Oh, God.
I question whether or not Suckling's capable of getting near the ball.
Well, is that right, Roy?
Yeah.
Okay, so
fit or not.
We're torn.
Yeah. Jeez,
I'm saying Danger.
Tiebreaker, as a Dangerfield owner, I would be getting rid of him and watching him run around.
Oh, really? Do you know the funny thing here? I'm probably out of the loop a bit because I don't have Danger, so I haven't been watching him.
It's awful. It's really not very good to have him. He's had a great score last week or the week before.
Yeah, that's something Suckling hasn't done.
Few and far between.
Can I just say something about Suckers? The reason I am concerned is because he has been moved up onto a wing because, I don't know if you guys have heard this before, but he's got a really damaging left foot.
Does he?
Yeah, yeah.
I thought he was a right footer for some reason.
Yeah, no, damaging left foot. Anyway, they've tried to take that damaging kick from defence to the midfield, from the midfield into attack.
Yeah, and you
but
can
he
see
really
why.
Struggles to find the ball up there, up the ground, whereas in the back half he gets a bit of kick to kick. He saved his game on the weekend because he played one quarter, it looked like, in that back half. But the other three quarters looked like they were in the midfield where he was running around like a chicken with his head cut off.
Righty-o.
Yeah.
All right, young Harry Arnold, he asks plenty of questions every week. He wants to know, Mitch Duncan or Luke Parker, both mid-forwards, who would you bring in out of those?
Love Parks. I can't help it.
125 last week. You can't look past him.
No, you can't.
They're basically the same price now. Yeah, I think Parker, he looked pretty good on Sunday.
I think they are both awesome players. Yeah. Good players, but Parker took it to awesome status on the weekend.
He was brilliant.
He's even 125 is a good score, but that score didn't reflect how awesome he was. He was just amazing.
There you go.
If you watch the game, it looked like he had a 150, didn't it?
Yeah, no, and he was everywhere.
Wasn't he?
And I'll tell you what, if he had a left boot, that was a penetrating left boot. It was a big one.
He was really good.
All right, let's have a look at another question here. Let's do it. You're probably going to go with Parker as well, but would you go him over Zaharakis?
I like Zaharakis.
Yeah, he is good.
I do, but I still think Parker, yes.
Yeah, so Jason Hemetsberger wanted to know that one.
Can I just add something about this? Zaharakis seems to have more of a consistent role than Parker.
Yeah.
Those Sydney guys get thrown in different roles. Like you're saying, Craig Bird went well this week.
Yep.
That's because he was back in the midfield this week and he had a bit of freedom to get his own ball in there sometimes. Parker, he goes from that midfield, which he was anywhere he wanted, he was obviously told on the weekend, but sometimes he'll sit forward a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know, Zaharakis has got a more consistent role. I still say Parker, but I wouldn't blame anyone for going Zaharakis there.
All right, Liam on Facebook wants to know, is it time to go for Taylor Walker? He's at 350k now. He's made about 70 grand. Only scored 46 on the weekend. So is it time for him to go? Answer is probably yes, but who to? What should he be trying to do if you have someone like Taylor Walker sitting there on your ground still?
There's a smorgasbord of DPP options up there at the moment, and there's no way that anyone has all of those ones, especially because even though Kieran Jack wasn't good, he is now an option up there. Zaharakis is an option up there. Duncan's an option up there. Any of those guys are good.
Forgetting about Boomer too, Roy.
Yeah, well, Boomer and Parks are the ones that, I don't know, a lot of people would maybe have at least one or two of them
by
now. So definitely, they're my favourite options.
All right, over on Twitter, Ethan Rumble wants to know, is Ben Brown a legitimate downgrade for your ruck? Calvinator!
I love Brownie.
I love him too.
What a gun.
I'll tell you what, after, was it 8 that he had last week? He bounced back. What did he end up with? It was like a 60
odd. It was nearly 70.
Yeah, and that was great. because the good thing is, like, I've got him and he's linked up as a ruck forward link, so you're jealous of that, aren't you, Roy? Because you don't have that.
I certainly am jealous of it.
But yeah, that's why I think he is. He's still cheap enough.
What for? What?
Look, I'll tell you.
Why does it even matter if he's good? You will never. If one of your rucks is named out, you would never say, "I'll take Brownie's score."
But if it was a late out.
If it was a late out,
because most people wouldn't have many guys on the bench now. Derek's is gone. A lot of people are rocking with Curry sitting there. If you're downgrading and you need to get some cash,
he costs $150,000.
Yeah, exactly.
You're overpaying.
Okay, listen. He scored 67. Some say just shy of 100. But This is the issue. This week, Fremantle play GWS at home. Mumford is going to bash up Sandy.
Mm. Yes.
Watch out, late withdrawal.
What? Now, who's rumour mill?
Now, I'm not treading on your toes.
Hasn't this been passed
all
by
I'm
me?
Saying, all I'm saying
if
is...
You've got a scoop and you didn't give it to
I
me.
I don't have a scoop, right?
Oh, right.
I had a thought, but...
Oh, well, you can write articles about thoughts. You just say they're out. Sorry, yeah, okay. But I see where you're coming from. So you're pretty keen to take Brownie's 20...
67. Just shy of 100.
Well, he does play St Kilda this week, doesn't he? So,
yes, correct.
You know, he should make a couple of points.
He might get 70.
Push 70 there, yeah.
Now, a few people have asked about Matt Prittis. You did mention him as one of those options there.
Mm.
A little stat about him. I think he's only gone under 97 once this year.
It's
and
amazing.
His consistency is huge, as you were talking about. Would you go him over Liberatore as an option for this week? Cowan some, as a Libra owner?
Some call it consistent, others call it boring, Roy. I like Libra because he can go 140s.
I know.
I think it's an easy decision. Griffin is now back, and Libra proved that with a 119 on the weekend. He's a way more exciting player to have.
And the last question here comes from Alex. Skanky Nipples is his thing. I'm not sure what that means, but he would like to... He would like to ask Calvin, or it's not really a question, it's a statement. Calvin's captains will be interesting.
Yes, it will.
It will be? Anything to elaborate on with that?
Well, basically, from the list that Roy came up with earlier, I think it's going to come down to three people. Stevie J and those impressive numbers he's got against Melbourne.
Yep.
Pendlebury, with a solid, consistent previous performance against Essendon, is going to be tough.
Yep.
And then, of course, Barlow, who plays GWS at home. So... those are going to be the three guys, and ranking those three for me is going to be incredibly difficult, but probably something I'll get right again.
So Calvin is confirming it's going to be interesting. Roy's rumour mill could be average. I think it could be average.
That's it for us this week on the NAB AFL Fantasy Podcast. Don't do anything rash this week. Don't go and find the delete your team button, as some people have said all over Twitter. We can all get through it. It's not that bad. If your team is that bad, just go ahead and jump on to match day and create a match day team for this weekend. There's a couple of games to win $250.
I've done that because my team's not looking great. So the first one we've got is the Crows against the Hawks. Suckling will score 100 in that, I reckon.
Really?
Yeah, no. And Kieran Jack will bounce back against Carlton with the Swannies taking on Carlton in the second match day game. Now, teams are really important this week, so chat with us on Thursday night on the AFL website in the lead-up to teams. Let's hope there's no more carnage, and then make sure you watch our episode on the AFL website once again on Friday.
Yeah, that will be very, very important, because I'm sure Ablett is going to be the big talking point. And any other little thing, because we've already had a couple of other bombs dropped on us today.
Yeah.
Anything could happen this week, so we will have it all covered with Roy's Trade Talk, Calvin's Captains, the chat on Thursday night, and our video on Friday on afl.com.au. Good luck this week, team.